Please stand by.
It's the weekend of March 19th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat. Pat, spring has sprung.
Woohoo, it has. I'm very excited.
I know. You know, it was a really cold week in Dallas, actually, last week, but it's starting to be spring.
Well, I was a little bit worried about the weather because last weekend I went out and purchased a bunch of geraniums and planted them, and then it got cold.
Well, are they going to be okay as long as it's above freezing, or are they pretty sensitive?
No, as long as it's above freezing, it's okay.
Yeah. You know, we rag on Dallas a lot because, frankly, it's a bit flat and not any real natural beauty to the place.
No natural beauty.
But, you know, I don't think I told you this, Pat. About 5 years ago, my dad, he's a big bike rider, and he biked from San Diego, California, across the country to Florida. They passed through Texas in April, and he said something that not only surprised me, but it surprised him as well. He said he passed through the hill country around Austin, Texas, and he said throughout the whole trip, that was the absolute highlight in terms of beauty and in terms of weather.
Wow.
Go figure.
That's amazing.
I know.
They probably went through Death Valley as comparison, right?
Well, he did say they passed a lot of Mississippi and Alabama, and it was pretty desolate.
Hey, my parents live in Alabama. There are some parts of Alabama that are nice.
I don't think Dad hit those parts.
Okay, well, there you have it. Hey, Jeff, I have some updates from last week. Remember I was talking to you about my drink, win, play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Your favorite game.
My favorite game. I've still been playing, and I want to report my statistics. Overall, I'm at 32%, and, you know, the win ratio is 1 out of 3.
All right. You're spot on.
Well, but that's including some wins from Corey. My personal percentage is only 21.4%.
So you really need your friend.
Right. My return on investment is negative 61%.
All right.
I have spent $16.38 to date. I have won 6 songs, 2 of them which were free. And those 6 songs would have cost me, had I purchased them, $6.42.
All right, for a negative 61% return on investment.
Yes.
But you got some drinks along the way, right?
I did get some drinks along the way.
Are those factored into the return on investment
equation? No. Yes, the purchase of them and everything, but all the other enjoyment and everything. But basically, I find myself getting really happy when I win, and when I don't win, I do sort of start saying, this is stupid, why don't I just buy the damn song? So anyway, that's the update on that. I think last week I talked about how I was a little bit worried that there was no sex after 50.
Right.
I did hear from alert listeners that there is sex after 50.
Really?
Yes.
It's one time or 2 times?
You know, I think I forgot.
How many times does that occur? Anyway.
I forgot that crucial part. Dadgummit, I'm going to have to go back to my sources.
Sources tell me that there is sex after 50.
Well, anyway, so.
I think that just brightened up the day for a lot of our listeners.
Well, it certainly took some pressure off of me. I have really been working at it.
You don't feel like you have to get it all in before you turn 50.
Right. Now I know there's a little bit more time.
That's great.
There you have it.
Well, Pat, I was over at Amy's, and we were watching her huge, high-def television. I mean, I've never seen a bigger TV. I'm watching some reruns of, like, an award show, and they were showing Glenn Close doing an interview. And you looked at her, and I thought, wow, she looks so raggedy and average. And actually, I don't mean anything personal to Glenn Close, even though it sounded like it, but it was just this phenomena of high-def television really makes people look bad. I did a little bit of research on the web, and there was a site called, what is it called, onhd.tv, and they had a celebrities that look better in high-def and a celebrities that look worse than in high-def. And I'll tell you, there are a lot more celebrities that look worse than high-def. So I thought I'd go through this list a little bit. I'll start down in the rankings. Bill Maher, they said he's got an extremely pasty white complexion and just looks horrible.
Well, we saw him in person, didn't we?
We did, but we were way back.
Yeah, and I fell asleep through part of his show.
That's not too untypical for you. Renee Zellweger was on it. I love Renee.
I think she's so unattractive.
She's...
Her face is all in the middle of, all in the center.
Yeah, it is.
She's just big cheeked.
And they mentioned that on high def, you can really see, and they mentioned they thought she had like some
rat
skin...
Knot?
That's it. Thank you. God, you're good. And, but I, you know, I think maybe it's because she does look kind of average, but cute, that I think I can actually get her. Maybe that's part of the attraction, but I always love Renee. Michael Douglas, he said, oh, he looks ancient and old and raggly and scraggly.
He is.
And he is. Cameron Diaz, they said she has terrible acne when she was young, and it just really shows up.
Interesting.
Interesting, you'll hate this, but Brad Pitt was number two. They said he also had skin problems when he was young.
I love Brad.
The comment was, he's still a handsome man, but his skin looks really bad and high def. Jewel was up there, and then the number one was probably no surprise, Britney Spears. They said her face looks incredibly puffy. She looks 10 years older than what she is. She's got wrinkles around the eyes and the mouth, and hate to diss Britney Spears too much, but I can believe it, you know?
She does a good job on her own.
Yeah. Now, we have four best ones, and they said Anna Kournikova looks absolutely stunning and high def.
Kournikova.
Or Pornikova?
It's a joke.
But you were correcting me again. Pornikova. They said she looks stunning. Catherine Zeta-Jones. So what a contrast. Her and Michael Douglas. Not a good high-def couple, maybe, but she looks good. Charlize Theron.
Yeesh.
And surprisingly,
that woman is beautiful. She could look good no matter what.
Well, if she looks good on high-def, she must just look
be beautiful.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the surprise. They said Sting. And they said, they're so jealous. This guy is 50 years old. He sounds great. And now, even on high-def, the guy looks great, too.
Do you know, number one, I had heard when they first came out with the high-def TV that people were concerned about that, because I guess makeup artists know how to make up their artists to look good in regular TV, and they were saying exactly that. With high-def TV, you see every little, you know, scar and everything, but I think what they're going to do is they're just going to have different makeup artists, so they're going to have to learn new techniques.
You know, that's probably what it does come down to, new techniques for a new medium. But boy, I'll tell you, I was scared when I saw this, like, pre-award ceremony with all these celebrities on high def. It was amazing.
Well, I think when we watched on Susan's television the Olympics.
Right.
Okay, and they had some swimmers out there. These were Olympic athletes diving.
And young, too, right?
Don't you remember? There were women up there diving.
Yeah.
I swear to God, you could see cellulite on some of those women. These are women who are 20 athletes, cellulite.
Amazing.
On high def TV that you never would have seen before.
But isn't it, in a way, nice for the rest of us that, hey, all these people that are celebrities, great athletes and everything, they just look pretty. I mean, they're good-looking people to begin with in general, but they've got, you know, they're human.
I agree. I fully applaud more reality in appearance than what we see now. I mean, you get this idea that women are so beautiful, and somebody like me ends up saying, oh, I'm so average.
I know.
When in reality, you know, what I'm looking at is really not that much better. It might be better. I mean, you know, granted, what's-her-face Catherine Zeta-Jones is a beautiful woman. There's lots of beautiful
without
women
a doubt
out there.
But just imagine if you and I had the professionals, the makeup artists, the hairdressers, all that stuff to prepare us for the camera. Just imagine how much better we would look. Seriously.
Oh, yes. Well,
I would look stunning.
It would take a team to make you look stunning, baby.
After the Botox.
Hey, Jeff, I wanted to ask you something. You know how I sent you that email message from that friend of mine who told me she was not interested in supporting this activity?
Yes.
And this activity was in reference to the podcast I had. She's a friend of mine that I've known since I was, let's say, 14 or 15.
Wow.
And I had sent her an email message saying, I'm doing this podcast with my friend Jeff. It's called this and blah, blah, blah. Check it out. And, you know, please vote for it. She wrote back, I don't want to support this activity. And at the end, she wrote, P.S., don't you have anything better to do than post your panties?
This is a complete waste.
I thought that was judgmental. What did you think, Jeff?
That was
when
very
you read it.
When I read it, I just thought, you know, sort of a theme that I said last week. Sometimes people rip into you for different reasons, and it's really more about them than it is about you. So, I mean, it's hard for me to judge because I don't know this woman, but part of me says, well, maybe if she listened to the podcast and saw the panties on the web 2 months from now, did different things would be going on in her life, and she'd say, oh, that's the silly fun, that's the silly pat, and this is fun. But maybe something's going on in her life right now that for some reason she just you know, hates it. But I don't know. Maybe Maybe she's a very judgmental person, but it was really coming from an old friend. I read it and I thought, wow, this is kind of brutal.
Well, let me tell you, I can't help the fact that, you know, when I was 18, I went off to college. She went off to college. At 20, she dropped out of college and got married. I, on the other hand, was still in college at 20, and I made a list of things to do. And it's not my fault that at 45, I have nothing on my list to do. Evidently, she still has things on her list to do. So when I go and look at my list, I'm like, what do I have to do? I mean, yes, posting my panties on the internet was on the list, but so was making opening up a meth lab and selling to meth to kids next door. So I really think I chose a better action. I mean,
really?
Don't you think?
So when you were 15, you had put panties on the web. That was even before there was a web. That's amazing clairvoyance.
I mean, I had nothing better to do, but it's not my fault that I've managed to achieve everything, and she still has to achieve stuff. It's, in my opinion, she's been slothful. She needed to move, get on the ball, and achieve more, and then she, too, could have nothing better to do.
That's true.
At our age.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think not my fault.
I think the panties did get a lot of comments to the
website.
They did
not. Nobody even noticed.
They got a few, but it was all good. I think if we put a poll up there, it would be, yes, more panties.
More panties. Well, actually,
don't you have anything better to do? Actually, that should be directed to me because I'm the one that kind of did the technical work of putting it up there.
Well, let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of panty action because there is a call to arms. Yeah, have you heard of the panty brigade?
Don't make Pat mad.
No, I'm talking about the panty brigade. You know what happened on Monday here in Texas?
What happened?
Well, they voted on HB3, so a bunch of taxes are going up. And this guy, he writes this thing. He says, 73 panty-waisted Texas House members voted to approve HB3 on Monday night. HB3 hit small businesses and regular citizens with new and increased taxes. I am asking all citizens to send Republicans who voted for the tax a pair of panties since they proved they are sissies.
All right.
So I don't have to buy a pair of panties and send them to them. I can just send them my picture from our website.
Excellent. Now, are they accepting men's boxers? And I want to be part of the panty brigade. It doesn't seem fair that it should just be women.
But, you know, today was sort of a sad day for me because I didn't go to 7-Eleven this morning. Here's what happened.
Oh, bloody hell.
I woke up at 6 o'clock and I decided that I was going to listen to a few podcasts.
Okay.
And I was also going to start looking at, I wanted to start reading a book. Well, at about 7:15, Jan came over and came into my backyard and let her dog out to play with my dog, Belle. So I got up and went outside and I made coffee at home. So I didn't have 7-Eleven coffee. And I'm sad because, you know, I look forward to my 7-Eleven visit.
I know. It's kind of like one of those morning rituals that we all get used to.
Right. But when I was there yesterday, I noticed that they had taken croissants and now they are dipping them in sugar. So they've got a sugar-dipped croissant.
God.
How about that?
They should be taxing those.
I think that should get double taxed. One for the fat in the croissant and then for it being glazed.
I agree. If there's any trans, they should have a trans fat tax. That would make sense.
A trans fat tax.
Yeah. Well, Pat, you've talked about this before, but who is one of your favorite interviewers?
Terry Gross,
right. That's exactly right. Well, I don't know if you heard, but I was on Terry Gross' show this week.
Oh, you were? Tell me
more.
You
didn't catch it?
No.
Well, I don't know. It was a really weird and wacky interview. I don't think it went all that well, but I did bring a clip.
Terry can be tough.
Terry can be really tough and kind of wacky, but anyway.
Let's hear it. I'm dying.
You want to hear it? All right.
Let's go.
Let me cue it up.
Make it happen, baby.
Let me cue it up here.
I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Jeff, has been described as an icon of alternative music. He's a singer, songwriter, and guitarist.
Well, thank you very much, Terry. You know, I also, actually, my main instrument is the piano. I just kind of picked up the guitar the last couple of years. But it's a real pleasure to be on the show. I feel very lucky.
Well, you are really lucky.
Okay.
Can you talk a little bit about, composing and sampling the music backing for the records, what your approach is to that?
Well, I don't know if I really do that much sampling. A lot of my music, though, is digitally based. I've got a Yamaha Motif keyboard. It's MIDI-enabled, but I use a lot of acoustic instruments as well. But, you know, working in the digital is kind of...
Bobby Digital.
Well, I'm sorry, what's that?
Bobby Digital.
What?
Bobby Digital.
I mean... I guess I do, you know, use digital stuff, but I don't know if I'd call myself Bobby Digital.
You know, you do something on some of your music that I think you call it a detuned piano. And listening to it, I never knew whether it was an electric piano or what, but it has this really distinctive sound.
Well, you know, I use different settings on the keyboard. There is one setting that's sort of a detuned setting.
So you use the word detuned. What do you mean by detuned, and what is detuned?
Well, a detuned piano, I don't really think I use it that much. Most of the time I try to tune my piano, but a detuned piano is just a piano that's not tuned, and you can digitally make a piano not tuned very, very easily.
What is detuned?
Well, it's just basically when you're... it sounds like a piano that is not tuned, you know, one that's been sitting around the studio for a few years and no one's ever tuned it.
What is detuned?
I thought I'd just explain that, Terry. By the way, you know, I've got to say, you are a lot more attractive than I had thought.
Old dirty bastard.
Well, I know, I mean, it's true. You can call me that, but, you know, I think you're pretty hot.
Dirty, dirty bastard.
Hey, I like the way that kind of rhythm sounds. Hold on a second. Let me get this going. Start doing what you just did.
Old dirty bastard. Dirty, dirty bastard. Old dirty bastard. Dirty, dirty bastard. Old dirty bastard. Dirty, dirty bastard. Old dirty bastard.
You got it.
Dirty, dirty bastard.
You go.
Old dirty bastard. Dirty, dirty bastard. 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 There's also Bobby Digital. There's also Bobby Digital.
I'm going to be singing this song.
All right. I think you're through.
Bobby Digital.
Well, I really want to thank you so much for talking with us.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, even though you're a little bit wacky. And that was it. So it was kind of a weird interview, don't you think?
Well, it was weird. Weird.
Weird, weird, and wacky.
That was great, Jeff. I cannot believe you did that. How did you do it?
Well,
I can't tell.
I can't tell. It's all proprietary. No, I just did it last night very quickly. I know it sounded a little bit amateurish, but I don't know. I just found some Terry
clips. Voice clips?
Terry voice clips.
That's amazing.
And did it.
I think we should send that to Terry. I think she would think it was hilarious.
I know. I'm a worried about being sued. Dirty, dirty bastard.
Well, you know, one of the shows I listened to this week was the Don and Drew Show. They are the number one podcast. Hi, Don. Hi, Drew. They don't know me. I bet they never listen to our podcast. I don't care. But evidently...
We don't care. We don't need them. No, we like the work that they
Please
do.
Please listen to us, Don and Drew, just once. We could take some tips. You know, I am envious because I kind of feel like I have no accent. As I speak, I have no accent. Dawn has a great accent. She sounds so adorable.
Yeah, she does. She does. You know whose accent I really like?
Who?
is Lisa from Viva Podcast.
Oh, I've not heard Viva Podcast.
I believe that she said she's Hispanic. They're both in New Mexico, but she's got just this wonderful, I almost want to say sensual accent.
Ooh.
She sounds nice.
Oh, wow.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, talking about...
Wait, no. I have something important to talk about, the Don and Drew Show. I don't know what, you know, I didn't listen to it all with 100% rapt attention because I was doing some other things. I'm sorry, no offense, Don and Drew. But it seems like Don was talking about these homosexual mallard ducks.
Yes, I see.
Wow.
And I guess she's talked about them and people have sent her all kinds of stuff. And I remembered, I think last year, I heard on, I watched on television about these Ignoble Awards. Have you heard of the Ignoble
no,
Awards?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. The Ignoble Awards are like parody awards, and they have been created to celebrate the unusual, to honor the imaginative, and spur people's interest in science, medicine, and technology. And they're pretty funny, I have to tell you. And I want to go through a couple of the Ignoble Awards, if you don't mind.
Okay, sounds fun.
This is from the 2004 Ignoble Awards. In public health, these two people, Jill Clark was honored for... determining whether it's safe to eat food that's been dropped on the floor.
Ah.
Woohoo! That's important.
That is important.
The engineering award went out for, oh, this is amazing, for patenting the comb-over.
The comb-over. Patenting?
So, yes. So I went and looked at the patent, and sure enough, they have a diagram, and the comb-over is done in a very specific way.
Wow.
And if it's done properly, it looks like it's really good.
Does that mean you have to pay rights?
I don't know. In economics, oh, this is a great one. They awarded it to the Vatican for outsourcing prayers to India.
Wow.
How about that? The Peace Award was given to some guy in Japan for inventing karaoke. It was
for peace?
Yes, because it provides an entirely new way for people to learn to tolerate each other.
Well, go figure.
Go figure. The Biology Award was awarded for showing that herrings apparently communicate by farting.
Really? You know, I love eating herrings, too. Now I don't feel so good about that. I'm eating their farts.
Oh, and then finally, oh no, not finally, no, yes, and finally, in 2003, the Biology Award was given to this guy of the Netherlands for documenting the first scientifically recorded case of homosexual necrophilia in the mallard duck.
Wow. Now, that's an important study. I think we can learn a lot from the mallard duck.
Well, let me tell you, I did have to look a little bit more about farting because I was a little bit impressed about that herring farting thing. Or not impressed, but I was curious. And I did find on the internet a fart experiment, okay, which I thought you might be interested in. The fart experiment is they were talking about, you know, what would happen, you know, if you farted. Just, I guess they were looking at whether it would spew out some bad particles or not. So what they did...
Farticles.
Farticles. Yes, we call them farticles. Actually, the caller, there's some guy called in and asked about the possibility of ingesting enteric bacteria from a nearby fart. This is important because, you know, if you're in your cubicle and you got your cubicle mate and he does a lot of farting, I mean, you could be infected.
Absolutely.
I had to look up what enteric meant. Do you know what it means, Jeffy?
No, I don't.
It means of, relating to, or within the intestine.
Okay.
So we're worried about being infected by somebody else's bacteria from their intestine.
Wow.
Anyway, so they took this, one of those plates, you know, when Petri dishes or whatever, and this person had her 8-year-old son fart onto the plate with his pants down from a distance of 5 centimeters.
Huh.
And then the next day, they looked at how much bacteria that was in there, and they talked about the initial blast zone and the spatter ring, the whole nine Jeez. Yards. I was thinking CSI, you know, Miami CSI. Anyway, they did find out that there was, you know, definitely some bacteria there. So now they're talking about conducting more experiments at varying distances, you know, from 5 to 30 centimeters and so forth. And also after the ingestion of specific foods and beverages, I think we should volunteer to be in that scientific experiment.
I think we'd probably produce a lot of evidence. I don't know, man. I think it'd make a good podcast. At least it's providing us for a good science minute.
Well, you know, I like to say the word fart. I think it's kind of funny anyway.
Yeah, see, I wonder where that word came from.
I wonder where it came from, too. But kids love farts, too. They love making farts.
Who doesn't?
And they love saying the word farts. There was this guy who came into work one time with his son. And his son was, I would say, maybe 5 or 6, very shy. I was trying my best to get him to talk. And
to
he
fart?
Wouldn't. No, to talk. And eventually I looked at him and I said, do you know how to spell the word fart? And he started laughing. And after that, he warmed up to me completely.
Wow.
So I just learned that, you know, get down into the gutter and kids will love you.
Hey, that's good recommendation. So our listeners are learning how to deal with kids on our podcast. Let's talk about farts and you're there.
Well, you're there, baby.
We're sort of on that vein. We got a very nice call to our listener line.
Oh, yes, we did.
I'll play that.
Hi, Pat and Jeff. This is Chris Rockwell from the Daily Download. I just saw your post on Podcast Alley about not getting any feedback, and I just wanted to let you know that I am listening and I love your show. I just think most of us are too lazy to get off our dead asses and comment. But I also wanted to remind everyone to poop for peace on April 15th. For more information on that, you can go to poopreport.com/peace. Keep up the good work, guys.
So that was a very nice gesture by Chris. The podcast alley thing, I wasn't really complaining about not feedback. It was just a comment that I made. So that was very nice, especially considering he was one of the first podcasts that I've ever listened to, and I still enjoy listening to him. And I'm going to put a banner on our website. We are going to support the Pooping for Peace on April 15th.
Everybody can do that. Even my friend that won't support podcasts can poop for peace.
And all you got to do, it's a matter of when you're taking your poop on April 15th, think about the fact that your enemy, Pat, is doing the same thing, whether it's a liberal or a conservative or a Muslim or a Christian. We're all pooping. We all have that basic human function.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Well, you know what I'm thinking about doing? I'm thinking about outsourcing my pooping to somebody in India.
Why not? Everything else is going over there.
I'm not going to poop today. I'm going to outsource it.
Cool.
Probably could get somebody to poop for me for a far fewer dollars than what it costs me to poop.
Very good. Well, it's that time.
What time is that, Jeff?
Getting to know me.
Well, tell me more about you, Jeff.
All right. Well, again, my mom phoned in with a clip.
Woohoo!
This time, it's probably pretty paramount to me being a podcaster, because this clip is from me when I was 8 or 10 years old. Be forewarned, the quality is really awful. She had a portable tape recorder, cassette player that she put up to the phone and dialed in. It was really bad quality. I did try to clean it up some, but there's only so much you can do. Anyways, it's me doing a radio show, and I was interviewing two guests, John Lennon and Johnny Bench, which gives you an idea of the time frame of this thing. So anyways, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I'll play
a little bit.
Why do you sound so much like Jeff Easterick?
John Lennon has, he's from England, and he's here to view, so, I don't have that much baseball publicity if you can stick over there.
Well, I'm very honored that John Lennon knows me.
Oh, you're so very honored that now I know you personally.
Probably don't know that personally.
You're a young dork.
I'll hand out my right arm just to shake hands with you. Oops, it was my left. Oops. I'll have to hand out my left, so my right goes out. Oh no, this happens once every while when I put out my right arm, my left, my left leg goes out, my left leg goes out, it's called what I call cross uncontrollability. So, let's see, that means in order to put out my right arm, I have to put out my left leg. Okay, here goes. Hey, that was perfect. Okay. Yeah, so, then if I'm from that, Tasmania anymore. Oh, that's okay.
That's good enough. It goes on and on. You get the idea. And believe it or not, that actually I did not have John Lennon and Johnny Bench in the studio with me. That was actually me doing those voices.
You doing all the voices.
Yeah.
You were clever.
Pretty impressive. I was podcasting. I sent that out to the internet. I was podcasting at the age of 10. So there you go. It's a little bit about me.
In fact, I think you invented the internet just so you could get your podcast out there.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
I know all about you, Jeffy.
So, Pat, tell me about you.
Well, Jeff, I'm kind of feeling verklempt about myself today.
Verklempt?
I don't know what to say about me, but I guess I can talk about the fact that I'm half Italian. My mom was born and raised in Italy.
The right or the left half?
The top half, baby. She was born and raised in northern Italy, and I guess what I'd like to mention that's come out of that was my favorite food is my mom's lasagna.
I think that's probably one of my favorite foods, too. Your mom makes awesome lasagna.
I've often thought that if I did murder somebody and I was on death row, the one thing I would look forward to would be my last supper, because it would be my mom's lasagna.
Yeah.
My mom makes the pasta by hand. Of course, she sends it through a machine to stretch it out and everything, but she does make it by hand.
Wow.
She doesn't have a machine make it. And then she makes the sauce. And also, she makes it in the northern Italian style as opposed to the southern Italian style. So she doesn't put ricotta in it. She makes a bechamel sauce and
right.
She layers it. And usually there's about 8 to 10 layers of pasta. and it is so good.
And you know what's amazing to me is whenever Pat has brought over this lasagna, she'll do that every now and then, that her mom gives her, it's packaged with her name on it, Sara Lee. I mean, it's just, it's really professional.
It doesn't say Sara Lee. Jeez, Jeff.
No, it's very good lasagna, though. It's incredible.
I think everybody who's had my mom's lasagna has thought it was to die for.
Yes, it was to die for. It's a good last meal.
So it is a good last meal in that regard. I think even my friend Maria would support eating of my mom's lasagna.
I don't know. Does that come with panties or... Doesn't your mom have anything better to do than make lasagna?
I don't know. My mom, I really don't think she does. And normally when she does make lasagna, Jeff, she doesn't make lasagna just like one pan. She makes like four pans.
I know.
She has four kids. Everybody has to get lasagna.
And you don't want to diss the kids. If one is left out, forget about it. They're not coming home for Christmas.
Although sometimes I have a fear that because my brothers have produced children, that they get more lasagna because of that.
Okay, cool.
Little does my mom know that I'll probably be the one taking care of her when she's an old, decrepit woman, so she better start being,
better start shoveling out the lasagna, baby.
For lasagnas.
All right, well, it's time for your Dallas Minute.
And
ding-ding-ding-ding, we got the music going. Well, I wanted to talk about, Pat, where we're going right after the show.
Where are we going?
We're going to a restaurant that not that many people know about it, but we know about it because of our good friend Wei Xing. This restaurant is called Zheng Qi, and it's up in the Chinatown area of Richardson. This is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for those that aren't local. And it is an awesome place for one thing. And what is that one thing?
Dumplings, baby.
Dumplings, baby. They've got incredible dumplings. We know about this through Wei Xing, whose mother, probably like your lasagna, makes the absolute most fantastic dumplings to die for.
Yes, Mrs. Wong makes the best dumplings.
They are just fantastic. And she would diss any restaurant making dumplings, but even this Zheng Qi gets her vote of approval. When she absolutely can't make them herself, she'll go to Zheng Qi.
Well, I'm very excited about that.
I can't wait. You know, we'll probably go to Zheng Qi. I think Amy's coming, and she may be bringing friends. I don't know.
Oh, I forgot to invite Shane.
Oh,
and Bruce.
No.
Damn it.
But it's something that we go to probably try to every, 2-3 months or so, and it's just such a wonderful experience. What I've found is I've gone through all their different ranges of dumplings, and you know what? It comes down to I like the... What is it called? The
steamed dumplings? No.
No.
Fried dumplings.
The fried ones.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are I don't even mess with the steamed ones anymore.
They are so good.
So that is Zheng Qi. Zheng Qi.
Well, my Dallas Minute is just to say nyeh, 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 to Wei Xing, because we're in the 70s. We're in Dallas. We're in the 70s. And she's in Maine.
Where it's what temperature, probably?
Maybe 30. She's getting snow. So, Dallas sometimes has some good things about it. I know we kind of already talked about that earlier in the podcast, but there's nothing I could do about that. That was what I thought. My Dallas Minute is, woohoo, it's 70.
A friend of mine is actually leaving work and moving up to Minneapolis, leaving Dallas to go to Minneapolis. And she's going up there on a house hunting trip next week where she reports the temperature is 30. And everybody in the office is like, are you sure?
So I guess she's going to work remotely.
No, she's going to work for a different company. She's leaving the company.
Oh, she is.
She's really good, too, so it's kind of sucks. But
does she have a good... Is she leaving a good job? Is she leaving a good job open? I mean, would it be a job I would want?
She's a manager of all of our technical publications and documentation.
Oh, no, I don't want that
job. I don't know if you're qualified to do that.
Excuse me?
Well, actually, with your diction, maybe you are. I'm just saying you're not trained to do that. You could do anything.
Oh, please.
How do I shove out of this hole?
Please. I could do that job with my eyes closed.
Your eyes closed. Well, I suppose you could type with your eyes closed. I don't think that's really saying that much. I could do that job with my right hand tied behind my back.
Yeah, well, interesting. I think sometimes it would be fine to live in Minneapolis.
No, you know.
Is she going to Minneapolis?
Minneapolis. And what I said is, hey.
She's going to make it on her own.
Exactly. Minneapolis actually is kind of a cool city. My sister was going to school at U of M up there, and I visited her a couple times, and it's a neat city. It's just freaking cold during the winter time.
Good thing it's not U of BM.
U of
They'd be ahead of everybody on pooping for peace.
Yeah, they would have a leg up. Well, that is your
Dallas Minute.
All right. That is our show for today. It's sad when it goes so fast, doesn't it?
Yes, but we have dumplings to look forward to.
Yay, let's get out of the show and go.
Yes. Hey, Jeff, I just wanted to mention something else.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to know more about the Ig Nobel Awards or funny science, they can go to www.improbable.com.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And thanks again to Chris Rockwell for the nice voicemail. We really do appreciate it. Our URL is www.thisandthatpodcast.com. Do call us at 1-206-202-TALK. That's 1-206-202-8255. And in honor of Pat's friend, we're not going to talk about what we're going to wear next week.
That's right. It's going to be a big secret.
So we're blacklisting, but next week, look forward to it.
Well, this has been fun, Jeff.
All right. It's been great. Talk to you later. If you like our podcast, please, please, please vote for us on Podcast Alley and tell your friends.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye, Jeff.